Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 29. Genesis, chapter 29. In chapter 24, we studied the romance of Isaac and Rebekah. That was Genesis, chapter 24. Now, Genesis, chapter 29 has the romance of Jacob and Rachel. So this is where we're up to in our study. So let's read, please, Genesis chapter 29. I'd like for us to read verses 1 and 2. The title of my sermon is In Search for a Bride for Jacob. In Search for a Bride for Jacob. Genesis chapter 29, verses 1 and 2. Then Jacob went on his journey and came into the land of the people of the east. And he looked, and behold, a well in the field. And lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well they watered the flocks. And a great stone was upon the well's mouth. Let's bow for prayer. Oh God, we're so thankful for the opportunity to study your word. We pray now that you'd fill us with your blessed Holy Spirit, that you would be our teacher, and that you would glorify your Son, the Lord Jesus. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Back in Genesis chapter 28, verse number 1, it reads, And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Then in verse number 2, Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. So we find within the context of Genesis chapter 29 is that Jacob's father, Isaac, commissions him to seek a wife not from the Canaanites, but from God's people, people that worship the same God as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob worship. The parents were concerned for Jacob that he would not make the same mistake that Esau made, who married unbelievers, a number of them. So Jacob is on a journey to Haran, where his mother is from, and the area from which Abraham was from, in order to seek a wife. So he travels from far south, Beersheba, northeast to where, God willing, he will find a wife of like faith. And we see in his journey that God teaches him, that is Jacob, a number of lessons. So far we've noted from chapter 28 that God taught Jacob obedience, the need to simply obey. And we stress the fact that one simple step of obedience can be a giant leap in spiritual advancement, just by taking those little steps of obedience. And also from chapter 28, we noted that Jacob experienced his God in a very personal way, and we stress the fact that it's so critically important that you and I, as God's people, not only obey God, but we also have a living relationship with Him, that we walk with God, that our relationship with our God is very personal, it's intimate, and we can truly say that I have the honor of walking with God. Otherwise, obedience is just sterile. It's a sterile obedience, and that will not lead to Christ's likeness. It might look like Christ's likeness, but if there's no personal element, how can there be transformation into the likeness of Christ? And last week we studied from verses 16 to the end of the chapter, chapter 28, some principles concerning fearing God, that Jacob learned some valuable lessons on what it means to fear God. To fear God means to acknowledge God's presence. To fear God means that I'm convinced that God's ways are the only way. To fear God means that I will set up memorials of God's workings in my life that I can think back upon and be inspired and reminded concerning the past workings of God. A person that fears God is totally committed. We read the other week the word vow. He vowed a vow the very first time the word vow is mentioned in the Bible. Commitment, the measure of your commitment is the measure of how much you fear God. Nothing more, nothing less. And last but not least, Jacob reflected a fear for God in that he made a commitment to honor God with his tithe. As God increased him, he said, I will tithe all my increase. So a person that fears God will tithe. A person that fears God will be committed. A person that fears God will have memorials. A person that fears God is a person that is absolutely convinced that God's ways are the only way. And last but not least, a person that fears God acknowledges they live in the reality of God's presence. So Jacob had to learn about fearing God. Jacob had to have a personal walk with God. And Jacob just needed to simply just take steps of obedience. And now we move on to that stage in Jacob's life that he is about to fulfill. It's going to take him a while. What he was commissioned to do, which was to find a wife. And because Jacob still had some rough edges, God had to reshape this man in providing a wife for him in the fullness of time. Now, when a young person, when is a young person ready to pursue a permanent relationship? Is it a matter of age? Well, age has something to do with it, but I would stress the fact that a person is ready for a lasting relationship when there is the evidence of maturity. Maturity. That is physical maturity, maturity on a physical, basic level, but more so, spiritual maturity. And parents-to-be and parents in the present and young adult singles this morning and mature-age believers, let's take note concerning some very important principles that ought to be evident in the life of a young person before it would seem wise for them to enter into a permanent relationship. Well, Pastor, isn't it just a matter of turning 21 and then, okay, where is he or where is she? Well, no. There must be some maturity. Now, I would dare say, parents, just at no extra charge this morning, if you are considering the qualification of a potential daughter-in-law, son-in-law, ask yourself the question, are they obedient to God's word? Do they have a living relationship with their God? Does it seem like they really know God in a very personal way? Do they fear God? Is there the evidence of a fear for God in this person? I think that might be a good place to start. Would you agree? Yeah. But as we study chapter 29 of Genesis, I'd like for us to note some further principles that give evidence of maturity and qualification. A lot of young people today that are very immature. And though they might be a certain age, they are far from spiritually mature. And let me give you some warning signs if you have a young person that refuses to work full time and they refuse to work hard. They live in the present with no plans, no goals for the future. They have little saved in the bank. They're hooked on gaming, social media. They love to be mothered, refuse to stand on their own two feet. And they're obsessed with sipping coffee or tea and having meals in as many eateries as possible. You have potentially a very immature person before you. So what can we learn from this passage of Scripture here that might help us to be discerning? Young adult singles, be discerning. Parents, let's be discerning. Oh, but Pastor, look, it's got nothing to do with me. Yes, it does. It has everything to do with you as a parent. You ought to be praying for your children. You ought to be seeking their well-being. You ought to be counseling. And you need a basis from the Word of God to counsel from. And let me encourage you. Ask the hard questions. Is there obedience to God's word in this person? Do they have a walk with God? Do they walk with God? Do they know what it means to read your Bible each day and to hear from God? Do they fear God? What other qualities can we glean? Well, let's study. Are you ready? Verse number one. Note there the wording, Jacob went on his journey. Jacob went on his journey. That is, Jacob did not stop at Bethel. He continued northward to his destination, determined by his father Isaac. He went on his journey. May I submit to you that God, our Heavenly Father, has a destination for every child of God. It is Christ's likeness. Ephesians 4:13 talks about being come to a knowledge of Christ. Christ's likeness. Let me ask you this morning, are you progressing spiritually? Or are you stagnant? Jacob was not only obedient, Jacob not only knew God in a very personal way, Jacob not only feared God, Jacob was a man that advanced spiritually. He went on his journey and came into the land of the people of the east. Jacob was a man that was progressing. He didn't settle with Bethel, though he had a wonderful experience right there, did he not? That's why he called it Bethel. He could have said, well, that'll do, thanks. I've experienced God here. No, he knew that he had a little bit of a way to go. He understood the principle of progression. Growth, advancement. And let me ask you this morning, in that potential spouse, are they progressing forward, young adult single? That individual that you have your eye on in the quietness of your own heart, are they progressing spiritually? Is there the evidence of them going beyond Bethel? Bethel is basic. A basic walk with God. Is there progress? Is there the evidence of growth and maturity? See, Jacob went on his journey. That little phrase there, went on in his journey, literally means to lift up your feet. He advanced, he progressed. So when you lift your feet, you will make more progress, obvious progress. So let me ask you, young people, are you progressing spiritually? I'm a pastor, I'm waiting for Mr. Wright in my life, or Miss Wright. Well, good for you, but are you qualified? Are you progressing spiritually? Is there spiritual progress? Is there the evidence of spiritual growth and maturity in that person? Parents, let me encourage you. Consider, is there the evidence of spiritual growth and maturity, progress in that individual that has a liking to your child? Is there progress? Secondly, note there, the second part of verse 1 of Genesis chapter 29, the Bible reads, they came into the land of the people of the east. So in other words, Jacob came into the land, he persevered, he traveled some 600 kilometers on his own, to the best of our knowledge, he's on his own, commissioned by his father, and he finally gets to where he was meant to be. This would have taken a long time, months, possibly. Stamina, determination. But Jacob reached his goal. Why? Because he persevered, did he not? He persevered. He did not quit along the way and decide to go elsewhere. No, he was commissioned by his father that you are to go to the land of our people, Haran, and you are to find a wife from there. So he continues to press on, press on, press on, an upward climb from all the way south, all the way north. He presses on, he presses on, he perseveres, and he finally arrives in the land. And beloved, if you and I are going to achieve anything worthwhile, we must persevere. Persevere in performing well and faithfully in the many hours and days of that routine and mundane duties. There must be perseverance. There must not only be progress, there must be perseverance. Do we have a persevering spirit? Or are we continually stopping and starting? Stopping something old and starting something new. Young adult singles, let me ask you the question, is that potential spouse? Parents, let me ask you the question, is that potential spouse that has an interest in your son and your daughter a persevering individual? Do they have some stickability? Or are they always starting something new because they've quit something old? See, Jacob persevered. Jacob was a man of progress. We must be people of perseverance. Perseverance is a mark of stability and blessing. And it is a worthy quality in a potential spouse. In Ephesians 6:18, the Bible teaches us, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Perseverance. Is that individual a quitter? Or do they persevere? Are they constantly stopping and starting? Stopping and starting. Changing this, changing that. Are they predictable? Is there perseverance? See, Jacob was a man that continued on his journey until he got to that destination. The old fable, the tortoise and the hare. The tortoise racing against the hare. Who won the race? The hare, because who won the race? The tortoise ran the race, won the race. Because he just persevered, just one step after the next, slow and steady. As opposed to that rabbit that was just self-confident and little spurts here and there. But it was the tortoise that won the race, beloved, not the hare. We need perseverance. We need perseverance. We have so little of it today. Where people just stick to it. Oh, but Pastor, it gets boring. Well, what doesn't get boring? What doesn't get mundane? Tell me, nothing in life doesn't eventually become mundane and so-called boring, but you do it because that's what you're meant to be doing. Amen. Sometimes my sermon preparation gets mundane. Yes. Mundane. Work. Oh dear, here we go again. I've got to come up with another sermon. I preached last week, and now Sunday has come again. And then I'll finish the day, and oh dear, Sunday will come again. And I'll have to come up with some other sermon. Mundane. That's life, beloved. Grow up and work it out. Just do what God has called you to do and stick with it. We need some young people that have got some perseverance. Start and finish. The country's going broke because of all these so-called university students. So they start one subject. Oh, I don't really like this. And they change this. Oh, I don't really like that. Or they spend 5 years at university and they get their little degree and they've cost the taxpayer thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. And they decide, oh, I don't really like this. How pathetic. You parents, let me encourage you. Look for perseverance. Ask the hard question. Does this person have a job? How long have they been in the job? How long are they planning to be in that job? Yeah, amen. Otherwise, you might have a potential good-for-nothing, lazy son-in-law to look forward to. Perseverance. Progress. Look at verses 4 and 5. You still with me? Parents, I'm trying to help you. Oh, but Pastor, then my kids aren't ready for that yet. Just, it'll happen. Take your notes now, beloved. Please, be prepared. Look at verse 4 and 5. And Jacob said unto them, pardon me, go back to verse 2 and 3. I'm jumping ahead of myself. Let's talk about verses 2 and 3. The Bible says in verse 2 that he looked and behold a well in the field. And lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it, for out of that well they watered the flocks. and a great stone was upon the wall's mouth. Then he made the note in verse number 3, hither were all the flocks gathered, and they rolled the stone from the wall's mouth and watered the sheep and put the stone upon again the wall's mouth in his place. So what happens here is that Jacob arrives and he observes a number of things. He observes a well here at his destination. He observes flocks of sheep, three flocks of sheep just hovering around the well, and he takes note of the fact the well has a covering of stone, so it was more than likely a ground level well, possibly. And he noted the fact that in order to take advantage of this well, you need to remove the stone and, you know, gather your water supplies, put the stone back on. So he looks, he observes. Observation. From his observation, he learns a few things, he discerns, he eventually makes some choices. And beloved, I'd like to submit to you that Jacob was not only a man that was progressing, Jacob was a man that was persevering, but Jacob was also a man that pondered, he observed, he noted a well. Now within the scriptures, a well is always associated with God's blessings. Always. Whenever you read of a well in the scriptures, take note there is some association to God's blessing. And Jacob notices a well. The evidence of God's blessing. And young people, may I encourage you in pursuing a lifetime partner, be mindful of the need of progress, perseverance in that lifetime spouse. But thirdly, I'd like to encourage you to just ponder, observe. It's amazing what you will note by observing. So Jacob arrives and he just stands back and he just observes. So I'm here. So what does he do first and foremost? He has a good look around. Notices a well. Stone on the over the face of the well, and notices some flocks of sheep there. And okay, this is where it all happens. They come to the well in order to water their livestock. He ponders. He ponders. He sees a well. And young people, let me encourage you to ponder. See, infatuation will blind you of what is really there. A lot of young people are infatuated. And the probability is, parents, you will never be infatuated with that potential son-in-law or daughter-in-law. Just how it is. Not that you don't like them, love them, but it, you know, it's not the same. Infatuation is not relevant to a parent, it's relevant to the young person involved. So let me encourage you to ponder, observe, and a bit of advice, look for a well. Look for a well. A well always speaks of God's blessing. Isaac was able to dig up some new wells because God's anointing and blessing was upon him. God affirms his blessing upon Jacob because he exposes him to a well. A well. The evidence of God's hand. And young adult singles, let me encourage you to look for a well, observe. Because infatuation can be very blinding, especially for young men. Men, let me remind you, we have bigger brains than women, but we use less of our brains than women. That's a proven scientific fact. Yes, it is. Proven. And as men, we can be infatuated with what we see on the outside, but we're not really pondering. And we're not looking for a well. And young ladies, let me encourage you, look for a well. Look for the evidence of God's blessing. Don't be infatuated with what you just see on the exterior, because it might be deceptive. Parents, observe, ponder that individual, that young person. Young ladies, young men, ponder, because you'll be amazed at what you will really see if you will observe. I don't mean just glance, I mean just have a good old stare. Look them down. Because if you are prepared to observe, you might find that you have this sort of situation. That is, for you young men, you might find that this is what you really have. In Proverbs 11:22 it reads, as a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair, a beautiful looking woman that is without discretion, without spirituality. That's what you have. And that's what some of you men will marry. Nothing more than a hog with a silver ring in their nose. Oh, Pastor, you're being a little bit mean. No, God's being mean. God is not mean. God is real. And God is factual. And God is serious about young people marrying spiritual young people. And you young men, you be careful lest you end up with a smelly, ugly hog that might have a gold ring in their nose, but they're still a hog. They stink, they smell, they're lazy, they're overweight. Oh, yuck. You ever been to a pig farm? Oh, not a great experience. Did it once, that's the end of that. Never do it again. So observe. I'll just keep that there just for your attention. Okay, just have a good look at that. Now, ladies, don't take it personally, okay? I'm not saying that you're a hog. I'm just saying that men that don't have the common sense to ponder and think and look at what they're getting themselves into, that's what they're going to marry. So don't take it personally, ladies. This is God's word. This is what God said. I thought about it this morning. The most beautiful thing that God created was a woman. Amen. That's why I married one. Rosella's a beautiful. Who'd ever think of marrying a Rosella? Or a tropical fish? No. Women, but you want them to be beautiful inside. So you parents, take note. Your son might be interested in a hog. Looks good on the outside, but that's about the intensity of their real beauty. You like that? I'll tell you where I got it from later on. Actually, the address is there. Ponder. Look at verses 4 and 5, please. I'll close with this. And Jacob said unto them, my brethren, whence be ye? And they said, of Haran are we.
And verse 5, and he said unto them, Know ye Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, We know him. Then note then verse 6, please. And he said unto them, Is he well? And they said, He is well. He is well. I'd like for us to note, number one, that Jacob was a man of progress. Number two, Jacob was a man of perseverance. Thirdly, Jacob was a man that pondered. He observed. And number four, Jacob was a man that probed. He asked questions. He asked this group of shepherds, Where are you from? Do you know Laban? Is he well? So in a friendly manner, he asked this group of shepherds a number of questions. Because all of this is new to Jacob. He's been a homebody. He's never been to this part of the world in his life. It's all new to him. But he exercises some wisdom. He asks some questions. And in asking the right questions, he will gain some answers and some help. And young people, let me encourage you, please, please, in considering a lifetime partner, consider progress. Are they progressing spiritually? Number two, are they persevering? Do they stick at things? Number three, observe. What do you observe? Ponder. Number four, probe. Ask questions. Ask questions. Ask good questions. Where are you from? Do you know Laban? Is he well? Beloved, don't be blinded by what you see on the outside. Ask legitimate questions. And note how they answer those questions. Parents, let me encourage you to ask questions. Observe. See, Jacob asked the question, Where are you from? What's your testimony? Do you know Laban? Do you know God? Is he well? How's your relationship with the Lord? Is it well? Ask questions. Don't be blinded by what you see on the outside. Ask questions and find out what's in that person's heart. All of us can put on a front. But Jacob was very wise. He asked questions. He probed. Prince Philip was asked, Are you well? By a reporter. I read this a couple of years ago. Are you well, Prince? And Prince Philip wisely responded by saying, Don't I look well? Don't I look well? See, he was discerning enough to know that his reason for asking was that he wanted a story. To make money. More money. So the prince wisely responded, Don't I look well? And just walked off. Very wise. See, questions can reveal. You can expose a lot. So young people, let me encourage you. Ask questions. Young people, let me encourage you. Observe. Young people, let me encourage you. Look for stability, perseverance. Young people, let me encourage you. Look for progress.
progress? Are they progressing? Are they growing? No doubt Isaac and Rebekah were praying for Jacob, were praying for a wife for Jacob. And I believe that God was answering their prayers, and we see from the life of Jacob a man that was progressing, that persevered, observed, asked questions. A couple of points. Got some more for next time. Okay? So some things to look for in a potential spouse. See, beloved, the divorce rate today between Christians and non-Christian is no different. No different. There are as many so-called Christians getting divorced as there are non-Christians getting divorced. Question, is that how it should be? Yes or no? There should be a difference, am I right or not? Where does it begin? It begins by parents helping their children. It begins by young people exercising some discernment. So let me encourage you, don't take lightly the importance of finding that right mate. But make sure they're spiritual. Make sure they're progressing. Make sure they're persevering. Observe, what do you see? Do you see a well? Is there a well in sight? Is there the evidence of God's blessing? What do you see? Because it could be that's what's really there. No well, but a hog. The gold ring in their nose. And last but not least, ask questions. May God help us to live godly in Christ Jesus. Let's bow for prayer. Heads bowed, eyes closed.